come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Count It All Joy, a teaching through the books of Philippians and James. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Well, welcome. Thank you for being here. Are you all ready? We did this one last week. This is a great reminder, especially with this worship. Our God is here. Okay. God is here.
God is here.
God is real.
God is real.
God is God.
God is God.
And I
am not.
Am not.
God's will.
God's way.
God's way.
God's time.
God's time.
Let's do it again. God is here.
God is here.
God is real.
God is real.
God is God.
God is God.
And I
am I
am not.
Am not.
Am not. God's will.
God's will.
God's way.
God's way.
God's time.
God's time.
Let's do that now, okay? Okay, now here is our memory verse. Ready? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let's do it again. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Good job!
Now it's on. Now it's on. Hello, you made it. Yay. I'm so excited to see all of you guys here tonight. And I know we've got a few new people, so excited to have you. We're going to do something a little bit different at the beginning of this study because God told me to. And so that's why I'm doing it. So I just want you guys to know how much time is invested in prayer over you. To know that what we do when we are leading you, when you go to small groups, when you deal with different things, that you are exactly where God wants you to be. Exactly where God wants you to be. I'm so thankful for you who have volunteered to be a part of us getting ready for people to come, the hospitality and the greeters. And I promise you, you will be notified this week of a schedule, okay? So, because somebody else will do it, and that's why it will work. So, we're just going to start, and I've asked Dorinda to just play in the background. Now, this is going to be, she's going to play in the background while I read, so please just listen carefully, okay? power of love is greater than the love of power. William Gladstone worked for equal opportunity for people, including self-rule in Ireland. He strove toward those goals for the 4 terms he was England's prime minister, and he kept fighting for the causes he believed in, even when he wasn't in office. Gladstone's belief in God colored all his choices, and he continued to grow and learn. His ultimate decision was that believers must be bound by their own conscience and deep study of the Word of God, rather than the edicts handed down by a religious authority. The general population fondly called him the People's William, or Grand Old Man. On this day in history, August 15, 1892, Gladstone was elected Prime Minister for the 4th time. The power of love is greater than love of power. By day, Gladstone had a busy, important job, but in his later years, many nights he walked the streets of London looking for women to rescue. The icy London wind cut through his overcoat, and the rhythmic clacking of his heels echoed off the cobblestone walk. In the dark, he heard the sound of a woman sobbing. "Madam, you do seem quite distressed," he said. "Is there anything at all that I can do to help?" Gladstone's breath ascended like smoke rings in the frigid air. "Sir, you're most kind to inquire. However, I fear that my life at the moment requires more than I would want to burden a stranger with." She sniffled and forced a smile. "I see," Gladstone said. "Well, I am in fact no stranger to the people of England, and I don't believe that there is any urgency you may be facing with which I cannot assist." The two stood in silence. Slowly, her lip began to quiver as she fought back the tears suddenly welling up in her weary eyes. "Perhaps," but her voice broke and she started to weep. Gladstone reached into the inside pocket of his overcoat and offered his silk handkerchief. "There is a much better way of life than this for a young woman like you. It's late tonight, bitterly cold out, and anyone could conclude from the attire, your attire, the profession that you are in. Is this the life that you've chosen, or did this life somehow choose you?" asked Gladstone. "Kind sir, I ran away from home as a very young girl to escape my father's violence. One horrible decision led to another, and now I find myself at the mercy of violent men every day. I have nowhere to turn for help and nowhere to sleep tonight unless I turn a trick." Filled with compassion, Gladstone looked at her and said, "Tonight there is a bed waiting for you without any strings attached. My wife will gladly look after you at our home this evening, and in the morning we will secure for you more permanent lodging at the hostel which we maintain for women similarly situated. Our people will be pleased to help you begin at once exploring new, dignified course for your life. The choice in all of this is, of course, yours." Her eyes grew wide. With both hands, the disheveled young woman wiped the dark lines of tears and mascara from her cold red cheeks. "Sir," she said in disbelief, "I am indeed speechless of your offer. Who are you, if I may ask, and why is it that you would want to help someone like me? Every man of power that I've ever encountered has wanted to use that power to his advantage, certainly not to mine. Perhaps in this dim light, you'll not recognize me, but please forgive me for not already offering a proper introduction," he said. "My name is William E. Gladstone, and I am the Prime Minister of England. and as such you will find that I am happily at your service and at the service of all those who call our beautiful country their home. This woman went with him just as many others had over the course of his life, and his decided efforts to improve society by offering a better way of life to London's ladies of the night. Philippians 2:4 says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And Lord, as we look at this and we see the touch of one life upon another life, we want to do things for everybody, but we can do something for one. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have given us Philippians chapter 2 to teach us to look out for the cares of others and not only on our own. Lord, that you have gone before us and that you have looked upon us and you have called us to something more. So as we get into your study tonight, Lord, we look to you to be the teacher, that your Holy Spirit would descend upon us, that you would anoint the words that are spoken, and that you would anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church tonight. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so he did for one. He wanted to do for everyone, but he could only do for one at a time. And that's all that God calls us to do. Many of you might know Cheryl Matsunaga. May not be familiar to a number of you, but she is one of the ladies who have been in our church for some time. She has had breast cancer. She has had two surgeries on her knees. She is in terrible pain. She is an amazing woman who continues to pray, and she fits right into chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. She wrote to us just recently on the 24th, "Dear Refuge, we hope all is well with each of you. I have returned to civilian life after 30 days of UCI hospital rehab. I am still without a knee." They removed her knee that they had, they'd given her a new knee and then infection set in. They've taken the knee out. "I still don't have a knee, I am still without a knee. My knee replacement having been removed because of infection. They are saying it is a long process trying to kill the infection, so probably into 2022. Though there have been many blessings along the way, including prayer for and with many staff members, the road has been very painful, like this morning. I couldn't move my back or left leg. Prayer and Oxycontin helps. Brad has to lift me up each time to get into the wheelchair. I'm learning to maneuver on rugs, which is hard to do, and go to the restroom with one leg elevated. Brad has been a wonderful example of a Christian husband, and I'm very blessed with his meal prep, vacuuming, yard work, and just lots of care. Thank you for your prayers and love through my heart-to-heart group. Several refuge members have surprised us with yummy food, and again, those prayers through prayer warriors like Kathy Craig's Friday group and various refuge family. Though I haven't been able to travel, the Lord brought the world to me. I met Afghanis, Tunisians, Somalians, Armenians, Persians, Indians, Filipinos, Vietnamese, Polish, Mexicans, and others. It was really exciting to be able to pray for these care workers, and they were appreciative to receive prayer. Two nurses even asked if they could pray for me. So that was wonderful. May not be able to join you for a while longer, but pray for refuge staff and church family. God bless each of you. She added, I'm on 10 meds, plus must give myself a shot to the stomach while Brad does a liquid infusion. I have the leg elevated and a drain vacuum attached to the knee, drawing away any liquid stuff from the wound. Nurses, therapists visit me daily. This woman, who is in the midst of some of the most pain I can imagine, this woman who is suffering trials, is more concerned about the people she's been praying with. She's more concerned about you than she is her situation. That's what we have in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. So let's turn to the chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. And I've really been enjoying getting into it. I think it's one of the greatest books that we've studied. I've studied Philippians before, and I'm just seeing it in a really different way right now. And so it starts out in chapter 2. It starts out with the word therefore. And you know, as we look at the word therefore, what do? We ask, what is it there for? Why is it there? And so we go back to verse 29 of chapter 1, and it says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Therefore, because it has been granted to you to suffer, therefore," and we're going to change some words in this first verse as we read through it, because the word "if" can be also translated "since." And it's saying that it's already there. "Therefore, since there is consolation in Christ, since there is comfort of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, since there is affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Humility is the theme of chapter 2. Humility is the theme of chapter 2. Here in this chapter and throughout the entire book, we look at who would I like to be like? Have you ever looked at someone and you went, "I want to be like that person when I grow up"? I still say that today. When I grow up, I want to be like somebody like Cheryl. I want to be like them. But in our text right here, we have the evidence of someone that we are to be like. We are a person to pattern our life after. But that person is not Paul. That person is not the church in Philippi. It is not Lydia. It is not Epaphroditus. It is not the jailer. We are to pattern our lives after Christ. We are to pattern our lives after Jesus, and we have right here in chapter 2 what it is to pattern our lives after Jesus. And so we go with that, therefore, it has been granted to you, and God often uses adversity to advance the gospel. Have you found that to be true? God often uses adversity to advance the gospel. He says in here that fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. What he's saying here is, I want you to be of one mind on the essentials. On the essentials. There, with every one of you that are in here, I have a disagreement with you. And you have a disagreement with me. We don't agree on something, but here it says on the essentials, but those things that we don't agree on are secondary things. They're of no importance. Whether or not you wear a mask, whether or not you get vaccinated, whether or not you run, or whether or not you walk, all these things. These are secondary things that have divided the church, and it's time for us to stop dividing over things that are secondary. the one thing that we need to stand firm on together as believers, as followers of Christ, are the essentials. What are those essentials? The essentials that we are to be like-minded on is, who is Jesus? Jesus is God the Son, and He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. We must agree on what is salvation. How is it achieved? How do we achieve salvation? We ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. Come and live in my heart. Lord, help me to live my life for you. Create in me a new heart, a new mind. Help me to live for you. And we have to agree on what is sin. Yes, I said the word sin. So many of the churches today are saying, well, it's a misstep. We've missed the target. We've missed this. It's just I just went in a wrong direction. If the Bible says it's sin, then it is sin. The Bible does not say that it is sin to wear a mask. It doesn't say that it's sin not to wear a mask. But it does say some other things, calls other things exactly what they are. They are sin. And we agree because the Word of God says that it's sin. And so we agree, yes, that is sin. Yes, God said it is sin, so it is sin. We agree on that issue. And so we're all together on that. Everything else is secondary. And we need to be of one mind on the essentials. Humility shows up in our attitude. That humility will show up in our attitude as we fulfill His joy by being of one mind, letting nothing be done. I just would warn you right now, I did not sleep last night, and I was my tongue didn't work this morning, and apparently it's not going to work very well tonight as well. So if I mess up, I'm just, grace, grace, God's grace. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. That humility shows up in our attitude. And when I think about a humble person, the person that comes to my mind right away is the person that we had a memorial for on Saturday, Rusty Fogle. I didn't know some of the things about Rusty. Rusty ran our luncheon of prayer that takes care of homeless people, takes care of people who just need a meal, takes care of people who just need some clothes, takes care of people that just have needs in different areas. He was right there to help them get help, to know the right number to call, to the right place to go. He packed lunches, sack lunches, after luncheon of prayer on Thursdays, and he took them over to the library for the people that lived there and just said, how can I help you? What can I do for you? How can I provide for you? He was the humblest of all men. Rusty had energy that is unbelievable. Unbelievable in an imagination. Oh my gosh, he could come up with anything. In fact, and he is, Rusty Fogle is the brother of Karen Johnson, who is the pastor's wife in Downey. Thank you. I got it better tonight than I did this morning. Anyway, so she said when she was growing up that her mom was just a very interesting person and difficult and that sort of thing. And so Rusty would play with her, and he would tell her, as they were sitting in this mud puddle, a for real mud puddle, there they are sitting in it, and he said, we are in the Mississippi River. And he convinced her that they were sitting in the Mississippi River. And Mom said, get out of that mud puddle. He said, don't listen to her. This is the Mississippi River. And she believed him. Because he cared more for her than he did for himself. And he was caring. Just let me get you aside from this thing that is just hard. let me take you away from that. That was Rusty. That was living his life for someone else, putting someone else's needs above his. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Jesus did not grab for the glory. Jesus was all man and he was all God. He was God. He was God when he was on earth, and he will be God forever. Jesus Christ is God the Son. He does have a human body. He did leave behind all of the divinity, but he had to fight against sin, just like we have to fight against sin. It says that he's been tempted by everything that's tempted us. And you can't do that if you have all of the divinity with you. All of the strength of being, well, he was God, so of course he didn't sin. But he was God, yes, and no, he didn't sin as a man, because had he sinned, he couldn't have died for our sins. He couldn't have been our Savior. He died, he came with a purpose. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he is coming back for those who love his appearing, for those who are looking for him to come back. I am so excited about the Lord coming back, I gotta tell you. I'm tripping all over my words because I'm more excited about him coming back, more excited about him coming for his people, not so that we just get snatched out of this world, but that we could see his face. I will look at him face to face, and people ask me, well, do you think you'll see so-and-so there? I don't know. I don't really care. Because I'm going to see Jesus, and I want to see Jesus. I'm not going to be going, oh, hi, Jesus. Yeah, what, is Paul there? I wanted to ask Paul a question. Can you imagine that? Well, will I know so-and-so? I don't know if we will know so-and-so. But I know I will know Jesus, because I know Jesus here. And when I see him face to face, I will see him. I woke up this morning with the song I could only imagine. I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk. Oh, he didn't grasp at that glory. He lived as a man. He humbled himself enough to go to the cross. He set aside his heavenly powers and submitted himself to the Father. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. You see, he had to lay down his own will. Just like, that's the person I want to follow. That's the person I can be like. I can be like Jesus, who I want to lay down my will, that I can have the will of the Father. And so Jesus himself asked for the will of the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. And then he went on to the cross, just like he said he would. And I have to ask myself, will I die to my own self-interest daily for the sake of others? Will I die to my own self-interest daily for the sake of others? In verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not every tongue will confess that he is Savior. But every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says, in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth. There will not be a person who will not be touched by it. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. I want to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. I don't want the Lord to have to humble me. It's a lot easier for me to humble myself. As hard as that is, it's hard for us to humble ourselves because we're proud people. And I'm sorry, I know you guys are not, but I am a proud person. And it's hard to humble myself, but it's a lot harder to have God humble me. And I don't want to fall under that. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. In verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. What does that mean, to work out my own salvation? What do you do when you go to the gym? You work out. What are you working out? You're working out what you already have. I'm working out my salvation. Work out your own salvation. When we come to know Jesus as our personal Savior, it should change who we are. It should change how we act. It should change the things that we do and the places that we go. Salvation changes us. It changes our lives. We should look and live differently after we've given our heart to the Lord. I have been told that if you go to the gym and you work out, that it will change your body. I heard something about that. It will change your shape if you work out. But if you don't work out what you already have, then it will remain totally the same. So that's the same thing. Work out your own salvation. It's not that we work for salvation. It is we work through the salvation. And it's when I came to know the Lord, I changed the way that I dressed. I changed my language. I changed what I did in my free time. Everything about me changed because what does it say? You are a new person. You are a new creation when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not the works of salvation. It is the fruits of salvation. It is the fruits of salvation. And it should show on outside of you. Oh, and do all things without... I don't want to talk about this. Do all things without complaining and disputing. All things without complaining and disputing. Now, there are things that you may find that need correcting. That's not complaining. That's correcting. And I want you to realize that there's a difference. Complaining is when you sit in your car and the person is going to get across the street maybe tomorrow. And you say things, maybe you don't say them out loud, but I know you're a little bit like me. So you kind of say things that you would never say to that person's face, would you? Could you please? I've been here 4 days. Could I make my turn? Whatever. We say those silly things and we complain. And we think that that person doesn't know. And that person doesn't know. But you know what? God knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And so God sees every word that's spoken, every thought that I'm thinking, everything that's going on in me. God knows. God knows. And so, of course, I'm not one that does much of that, but I just thought... maybe we should put it out because it's written down here. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Does it sound like today? Among whom you shine as lights in this world, Are you shining as lights in this world? Are you, you are a city that sit on a hill. We are the light of the world. We are the light that people see and are drawn to because of Jesus Christ in our lives. It says that among whom you shine as lights in the world, that's why we stand out and that's why we get arrested. I want to tell you, please, people, pray for Australia. Pray for what's going on in Australia. People are being arrested, people are being beaten, people are because they have gone too far away from their home, because they're in a lockdown, because they've gone more than 5 miles, 5 miles away from their home. They have to have permission to go to the grocery store. They are not allowed to meet for church. They have been under lockdown for over 500 and some days. And we are praying for the Russells in Melbourne. Please pray for them. They are the ones who have taken over the church that Bill and I started there in Melbourne. And they are living through this. They said suicide is up 200%. They are firing people for not taking the vaccine. In Canada, I don't know if you saw it today, but the pastors who kept their churches open are going to jail, prison, for 6 years. Okay, I'm glad we have that airplane mode turned off. So, there's some things going on, but you know what? The Christians are shining in those situations. And you know those pastors in Canada? They're like Paul. They're willing to go and shine for Jesus there. Now, would I choose to go to prison? No, of course not. But if that's where I'm going to shine for Jesus wherever I'm at. So please be in prayer for all of that. And in this crooked and perverse generation that we live in right now, we shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. What is the word of life? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the word of life right here. God's word. This is God's word. What it says in here is God's word. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. What he's saying is if you are continuing on with the Lord, if you are that light, if you continue to walk with the Lord, I can die a happy man. Just knowing that you are walking with God, just knowing, caring for the others, for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. For the very same reason that you are walking with the Lord, you're going through trials, you're going through persecution, you're going through all kinds of stuff are going on in your life. And you are getting through it. You are walking through it. Rejoice with me, even if I die. If this body dies and this is over, I am happy. I will die a happy person knowing that you are walking with God. With God. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. He wants to send Timothy. He wants to send Timothy. You know what? I want to say something about the complaining in chapter 14. Or verse 14 there. Humble people don't waste time complaining and arguing. And since this chapter is about humbleness, humble people don't waste time complaining and arguing. We're holding firmly the word of life. And I'm sending my beloved Timothy, hoping that he will be able to come as well. He says that, Timothy, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Timothy sincerely cares for you. Timothy has imitated what Paul has done, and he will care for you in the same way. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. This reminds me so much of a story. It's not really a story. It was a true life thing that happened to us that we talked to Pastor Jack up at Church on the Way. Back in the Jesus movement, with all the Jesus people and everything, it was an in thing. It was an in thing to be at Costa Mesa, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. It became the in thing to be there. And up in Van Nuys, it was the in thing to be at Church on the Way. And then Jack Hayford, yes, he got wind that the elders and the deacons of the church were doing you probably don't know who I am, but I am an elder at Church on the Way. Just saying. Want you to know, all know how wonderful I am because I am an elder at Church on the Way. Pastor Jack got wind of it, called them all in. And if you know anything about Jack Hayford, he deals with stuff just like that. Thank you very much for coming in. I would love to blah, 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 blah. And then he brings you in. I've heard you guys talking like this. And I'll tell you right now, you are no longer allowed to call yourself a deacon or an elder at Church on the Way. If you want to tell them what you do at this church, you tell them I'm a flunky for the Lord at Church on the Way. If you want to tell them, that's what you're doing. You are a flunky for the Lord here at Church on the Way. So if you want to brag about that, you go ahead and do it. There are those who want to be known because they're doing things. They want to be somebody because they're a part of something else. And God calls us to something bigger. Okay. Where was I? Verse 21. But you know his proven character. You know Timothy's proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. I'm looking forward to coming. That's my heart's desire. But I'm not for sure if it's going to happen, but that's what I want to do. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, see what he says about him. He's my brother, he's my fellow worker, and he is a fellow soldier. He has fought the good fight alongside us. But he was your messenger and one who ministered to my need. You remember Epaphroditus. You remember that you sent him to me, and he's been here for a while. And I'm going to send him back to you. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to send him back to you. Because Epaphroditus has watched how Paul has lived, and he is living the same way. As he's living the same way as Timothy's living. And he is pouring out his own life for other people. And it says that he got homesick. For indeed he was, since he was longing for you all and was distressed, he was homesick and he became distressed because you found out that he was sick. He didn't want you to know that he was sick. He didn't want you to know that he was struggling. But he was sick, that you heard that he was sick, for indeed he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You sent him to me. He stayed here with me, and I do not want to say goodbye to him. It would break my heart to say goodbye to him. You sent him as a messenger to minister to my need, and he didn't hesitate to come. And I'm sending him back to you, not because he's no longer of use to me, but because it is necessary that you know what kind of man Epaphroditus is. It's necessary that you know that. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, verse 28. That when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful because you are rejoicing. I will be less sorrowful because you are rejoicing. That doesn't make sense, does it? I'll be less sorrowful because you're happy? Because you have a joy? That's humbleness. That's laying down our lives for someone else. I care more about you than I do about myself, is what he's saying. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. He's telling him, don't look at him as somebody who's coming back because he couldn't hack it here. Don't look at him like someone who just can't make it in Rome, so he had to come back home. This is a man who laid down his life, Paul says. It's a man who laid down his life for you and for me and cared for me. You are to treat him with respect for the way that he has conducted himself. He was not only homesick for you all, but he was also physically sick. He almost died. You need to know what an amazing man this is who walks with such integrity and humility. I want to share with you what this man is because you apparently didn't know who he was when he left. I think he's changed since he's been here too. And so Epaphroditus, Timothy, and Paul were all men from Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. That kind of living gives us joy that transcends our circumstances. We can count it all joy. Jesus, others, yourself. True joy is there. We count it all joy. Now, next week, when we start our study, we're going to start with the word finally. And we'll see how long this preacher takes to get through finally. And then finally, and finally, and finally, finally. But next week, we'll be into that. Finally, rejoice in the Lord, and I will keep saying it, rejoice. And Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you have gone before us, Lord, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and it's with your loving kindness that you have drawn us. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness toward us. Lord, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you have paved the way for us, Lord. And that day is coming. You told us, I have told you beforehand that these things are going to come, so that when they come, you are not taken by them. You're not fooled by them. You're not tricked by them. But you will trust my word. And I thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us in the dark. You don't leave us blind to things. It's not a blind faith. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace that you have poured out upon us. And we pray for these precious people in Australia, the precious people, Lord, that are in Canada, and others that we don't know anything about right now, Lord, that are suffering because they are Christians. Now, not all are suffering because they're Christians. Not all are going through hard times because they're Christians. But, Lord, there are many that are going through some very hard stuff simply because they are Christian, because they've chosen to follow you and do what you have told them to do, whatever that is. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't live for ourselves, but that we get to live for other people, that we have you as our example, who laid down your life. and you were obedient even unto death, that we might have eternal life. And we look towards your soon coming. We love you, Lord, and we just can't wait to see you. May your name be glorified and lifted up in our lives, that people will see the light and be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I've given up.